guess I'll just call this, nothing else, the story of Christmas. But really, it's God's will. Now, the one thing that God really emphasized as I was preparing for this is that here's the story of Christmas right here. And I've got it all in slides, so no. But just, well, because the thing that I want you to get or out of this or at this time is, well, we're looking at God's will. And God's will is that we be saved. God's will is that we be in his love and in his will, doing his will, not necessarily our own. And just, Lord, I do pray that my words will be yours today, that I will speak only the things that you have me to speak. And as you taught your disciples, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Do not lead us into temptation. And that's the part, but deliver us from the evil one, sorry. That is what's in the Bible. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. As a good Lutheran would end it. But those words that I grew up with as a child are also there. We do want God to have the glory. And he does have the power. And amen just simply means we're in agreement with him. The will of the Lord be done. And the Lord, and now one thing I guess I do want, I have pulled scriptures out of here from different places in the Bible. If you want to take notes, note where it's from. Because I specifically chose them because I'm not going to give the whole story, but I want you, hopefully it brings memories. Hopefully you're familiar with the Bible enough to at least recognize the situation. And if not, spend some time this week and find it in the Bible. And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. This is Jesus at age 12. Who is he speaking to? His parents. His mother and stepfather. I guess you could put it that way. But now, the interesting thing about this, and the Lord wants me to emphasize this, and just simply say, why do we seek the Lord? And if we're not seeking the Lord, why aren't we? I mean, just like Mary and Joseph were just as human as we are. And as a human, we need to seek him. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of the tree? You shall not eat of the tree, every tree of the garden?" For Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. This is sort of the beginning and the end of the beginning story of the fall. When God made those tunics of skin, it was the first covering for sin. because they were ashamed. And we have need to be ashamed because we are fallen from what we were created to be. Then the Lord said, "Behold, the man has become like us, like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. This is the beginning of the story of Christmas. And there's mysteries here, but there's also the promise. We were protected from the tree of life for some reason. I do sincerely believe that when Adam and Eve left the Garden of Eden, they thought they were dead. It's one of the reasons why we get reborn. Because spiritually, they were dead at that time. And God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come to before me, for the earth is filled with violence, and through them, behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark." Then spoke Noah to Noah and his sons with him, saying, "And as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you, with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and the beast of the earth are with you. Of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth, thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God's will. One, he destroyed all except for Noah and his family. And he promised never to destroy again with the flood. And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant which I have make between me and you and every living creature that is with you in perpetual generations." Now, perpetual generations means it's forever. "I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be then, it shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature. All flesh, the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and it will look, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." And God said to Noah, "This is a sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." God's rainbow is in the clouds, and it's a sign of his covenant. It's not on a flag. Now, one of the interesting things is, and science will confirm this, the number 6 stands for man, and it also stands for incompleteness. The flags we see so often anymore stand for man and his incompleteness. The rainbow in the clouds has more colors. Now, color is important, and every human being is important. And so, God gives us grace, and His grace is what He wants us to give to others. But still, we cannot stand in opposition to God. Man is incomplete without Him, and will forever be incomplete if we stay without Him. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him, but now I know you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. God also made a promise and a covenant with Abraham that still exists. Now, it's interesting. Abraham, first son, not through Sarah, was Ishmael. His second son was Jacob. Through Sarah, and through Sarah, the promise is continued. Abraham also had many children beyond that. The interesting thing is that the whole Middle East is filled with descendants of Abraham. And even through Isaac, there was a division again between Jacob and Esau. And that division continues today. It's actually the backbone of much of what we see in the Middle East. One day, Zechariah was serving in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. As the custom of the priests, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord to burn incense. While the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. God's will is for each one of us, individually as well as for His entire body. And His body includes all those who follow Christ, Jew and Gentile, and from every tribe and nation in the world. That's the promise, and God keeps His promises. All believers and all His creation. How do we respond when God's will, since God's will is in our life, do we see it? We won't always have an angel there. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him, but the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have a great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of the king of David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, 'Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you.'" I'm trying to think things in chronological order because I want in the end to bring it to today. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel said, "for you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. God honors women. Look at how he honored Mary and Elizabeth and the other women in the Bible. Also, God gives each and every one of us a name. Now, it may or may not be the one we got at birth, but God does name us. Something to look forward to. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, "But how can this be? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby was to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." And when it was time for Elizabeth's baby to be born, she gave birth to a son. And when her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had been very merciful to her and everyone rejoiced with her, when the baby was 8 days old, they came for the circumcision ceremony and they wanted to name him Zechariah after his father. We will always have influences from the outside. But Elizabeth said, "No, his name is John." "What?" they exclaimed. "There is no one in your family by that name." So they used gestures to ask the baby's father what he wanted to name him. He motioned for a writing tablet, and to everyone's surprise, he wrote, "His name is John." Instantly, Zechariah could hear again and begin could speak again, and began praising God. Do you know God's will? He knows your name. Don't let anyone take what God has given to you. Besides your name, but the Lord has given each and every one of us the things that we need. We don't need to look into the world to find the things that we need. God will provide them. But he does have a will for each and every one of us. And it's unique. And you do want to seek God for that will. He also has a will for all of us together. That's just a beautiful way that he draws us together because we are a body. We are a family. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding the flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him. By this sign, you will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." His will is to bring good news to all people. One of the interesting things I heard yesterday as I was stumbling is out of Israel, it came from a Messianic Jew there. He said, there has never been, he says, Israel is one of the most liberal places in the world. It's the only place where the LGBT community is safe in the Middle East. But he said, more people in Israel today are trying to figure out really who their God is. Because a lot of them, just like a lot of Christians in the United States and around the world, are just simply a Christian by name. And many of the Jews, although they know their history because God dispersed them across the world, it's interesting how God brings them together. And it's interesting that when Israel became a state, Every nation in Northern Africa and the Middle East had a significant Jewish population, anywhere from 5 to 30 to 40%. Those nations, since 1948, 97% of the Jews have been forced to leave since 1948. And those are the ones that live in Israel today. A few came from Europe and a few came from America, but the majority of the Jews in Israel today came from the Middle East. And that's just something that we don't hear much, but it's important because God said he would draw them back. But this man said it's exciting because they really want to know their God now. And that was just, it was just interesting to hear that said. But it's important to know at this time, his will is to bring good news to all people. And he's faithful to keep his covenant. Because Jesus will reign on the throne of David. We've already mentioned that. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in a manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just like the angel had told them. Do I share the good news I've been given? Do we keep these things in our heart and think about them like Mary? Do you ponder the will of God? Because it's not an easy topic, and it's very, very diverse. Everyone was expecting the Messiah to come soon, and they were eager to know whether John might be the Messiah. John answered their questions by saying, "I baptize with water, but someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not even worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He is ready to separate the chaff from the wheat with his winnowing fork. Then he will clean up the threshing area, gathering the wheat into the barn, but burning the chaff with never-ending fire." John used many such warnings and answered the good news to the people. Now, Jesus himself said that John was the last prophet of the Old Testament. This prophecy is not yet fulfilled. Are you wheat or chaff? One day when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. As he was praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove, and a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly beloved Son, and you will bring me great joy." The Father speaking. Blank slide. Where is my heart and thoughts right now? What is Christmas to me? One of the things that we know about Christmas is it was set at a time of a pagan holiday just to make things easier for people to be able to discreetly worship God. There are good and bad in what's come through. Bev has watched a lot of Christmas movies. She watches two or three a day, and I'll share one with her pretty much every night, or at least these last couple weeks. But it's interesting how much in these movies, Christmas is more about a romance, and very little is said in 90% of these movies about Jesus at all, which is sad. The other thing that we want to think about at this time is, I think it was a year ago, maybe it was 2 years ago, there was a statue or something at the Iowa State House dedicated to the devil. Now, one thing that should be obvious from that, the devil doesn't have any holidays. His only purpose is to disrupt those that honor the Lord. Those that don't honor the Lord, he doesn't mess with. So keep that in mind. It's something to ponder. We do have an enemy. Pilate responded, "Then what should I do with Jesus, who's called the Messiah?" And they shouted back, "Crucify him." "Why?" Pilate demanded. "What crime has he committed?" And the mob roared even louder, "Crucify him." Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road, and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. "Peace be with you." We're going to be breaking bread in a little bit. It's amazing that, the emblems are symbolic, but the remembrance and the process, communion is very real. And so prepare your hearts. We'll be partaking in a few minutes. It is the will of the Lord. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples to all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, and in Samaria, to the ends of the earth." Good name for Palestine, Judea and Samaria. It's interesting, being a stamp collector and having collected some coins, from the 1890s on and possibly even earlier, the stamps and coins, even during the Ottoman Empire, said Palestine in English, and underneath it, in Hebrew, the land of Israel. But that's how it was named back in AD 135. History is important. After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return and go to heaven in the same way you saw him go." Remember, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for us. And the Holy Spirit is with us, in us. So now we come to today, or at least an event in Acts that I believe, and the Lord asked me to put this here, is similar to where we are today. This is Paul returning to Jerusalem at the end of his third missionary journey. Now it came to pass that when we had departed from them and set sail, running a straight course, we came to Kos the following day to Rhodes, from there to Patara, and finding a ship sailing to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set sail. When we had sighted Cyprus, we passed on the left and sailed to Syria and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unload her cargo. Now, one of the things I want to mention about in Paul's third journey, Luke started using the words "we," because Luke is now traveling with Paul and will probably, as far as we know, continue all the way to Rome. And finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days. Now this was in Tyre. They told Paul through the Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem. When he had come to the end of those days, we departed and went on our way, and they all accompanied us with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we knelt down on the shore and prayed. When we had taken our leave of one another, we boarded the ship and they returned home. Now, Paul never went to Tyre on his first or second or third journeys. The interesting thing is on this trip back from Galatia and Corinth and those areas where he was at before, he stops at many places and there are disciples there. This is about 25 to 30 years after Jesus was crucified. And the neat thing is the Great Commission has gone out through Judea and Samaria and is already on its way to the ends of the earth. After 25 years, 20 or 30, somewhere in that neighborhood, after the crucifixion. It's an amazing story, but it's God's will. Nothing will stop the gospel from reaching the rest of the world. And when we had finished our voyage from Tyre, we went to Ptolemais, greeted the brethren, and stayed with them 1 day. Again, no mention of Ptolemais in anywhere in Acts or in the New Testament until here, but there's brethren there. This is present-day Lebanon and Syria. I mean, well, it's Lebanon mostly because Syria isn't right on the coast there, but that's, it's just interesting. On the next day, we who were Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip, the evangelist, who was one of the seven and stayed with him. Now, this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied. The last time we'd seen Philip, he was speaking to an Ethiopian eunuch. And it's interesting, it's just that There is. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. When he came to us and took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews in Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." Typical Jewish prophecy, using signs, acting it out. Read Ezekiel, read Isaiah, read Jeremiah. It's amazing, I mean, to be a prophet today and run around naked for a couple days. It's crazy. I mean, you read that stuff and you go, how did they ever do that? How did a self-respecting person ever do something like that? Well, first of all, we have to realize that God's will is that we're not always self-respecting in our terms. But yet, it's there. Now, when we heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him, "Do not go to Jerusalem." Then Paul answered, "What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." So when we would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, "The will of the Lord be done." Are we willing to say, "The will of the Lord be done," in our church, in our body, in our lives? Paul has been told multiple times, and there's conflict when you read the different ones. Should have Paul listened and not gone to Jerusalem? Well, those are discussions for a different time and a different place, but yet, one of the things, the Lord's will supersedes all of our own plans. We have to be prepared to make the decisions, and we need to know the will of the Lord for us as individuals, but also as a body. And when decisions are made, I mean, Paul has made up his mind. He's going to Jerusalem. He doesn't know what's ahead. We do because, well, we've read the rest of the story. But what is God's will? And he said to them, "Why do you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" Now we are to imitate Jesus. We need to seek Jesus. We need to seek the will of the Father. And we need to be about our Father's business. Jesus is our Lord and brother, which is an interesting thing. We are sinners, but by his grace, we can be with him. And there's no place I'd rather be. But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Would someone go and get Bev and the kids? They can join us for communion. Go ahead and prepare for communion. If someone would like to, if a couple guys would want to distribute the emblems at this time, that would be wonderful. Thank you. But prepare your hearts. thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done, for your incarnation, which is the true name of Christmas. Lord, we celebrate you becoming human, becoming the God-man, so that we could have salvation from 1 Corinthians 11. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night in which he was betrayed, the Lord took some bread, gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Go ahead and take the bread. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people." A new covenant. That's the third covenant mentioned today. All three are still in force. And this one brings us into his presence. Covenant between God and his people. An agreement confirmed with my blood. Now notice here, it's between God and his people. This is the first time that there's actually a separation. All people are available to be his people. But God knows that there will be those who don't accept it. So Lord, I do at this time lift up those who have not yet accepted you as Lord and Savior. Especially around the world and those that you will bring into this body, Lord, because that's what you've put us here for. We're entering an exciting era, Lord. An agreement between confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes. Take the... If you want a time for prayer or would like prayer, feel free to just remain and be in the presence of the Lord.